when Cheryl and I may be riding down the road together, and we're talking about something, or it could be about the house, or it could be about the kids, or whatever, and then it's kind of silent in the vehicle for just a short season, and then Cheryl will say something like, "What about hot dogs?" And I'm like, "What? Where did that come from?" You know, and if you have some time, it really goes, and there is the whole story aligned to that "what about hot dogs" statement. But at the time, it's like, you're whacked. You're completely lost it here. But you got to have the story, the backstory. I had a "what about hot dog" moment this week, and I would just want to start out with hot dogs, but I didn't think that would make sense to you. So I drew a map. And I actually got it on, it's going to be some on the screen, but here's the map. Actually, I started to draw a map on 4x6 index cards, and then I had to tape another one to it because the map got longer. And so I drew a map this morning because I didn't want to start out with, "What about hot dogs?" I wanted to start out with, "How did I get to what about hot dogs?" And so I started to drive, this will work with me here, I started to drive. In my head, I was on Prayer Request Highway. And on Prayer Request Highway because I had asked a group of guys to pray for another guy. And I started out with sending that text to a bunch of guys asking for prayer for another guy. And it was interesting because often we'll get back praying, you know, certain, but all of a sudden I started to getting prayer requests or prayers back in the text. And they started to grasp me as I started to read the prayers that were being offered up for the individual that I was requesting prayer for. And so I started to drive, and I was on this prayer request highway, and as I was reading the responses to this request, a couple of them, they all, I couldn't share them all, but just the first one or two here this morning. And look what it said. Push the button here. "Lord, this is not my words. This is someone that's here this morning praying for another guy in this room. Both guys are here. Lord, let him experience what you have in store for him and flourish in your love. You are the great provider." I'm telling you, when God starts to turn things around, he starts to turn the men and women of prayer on their knees and begins to pray. I was not getting requests. Or I was not getting just simple praying or something. And I liked those at times. But this one was different. And then this one was also continued prayers that he continues to let God in. And all of a sudden, I found myself veering off of this prayer request on that one. What's in store? Letting God in. All that is in store and letting God in. And I couldn't get out of those two statements. What is in store? And just so you know, there was two or three requests that said, prayers that said, what is in store? What is in store and let God in? So you can push the button. So I started to veer off on let God in way. That's on my map here. And I started to ponder to let God in what is in store. And I began to find myself and let God in way merges with Ponder Street. This, hang on, we're going to get to what about the hot dogs. You got to give me a minute. You got to get, because Cheryl's always got a reason why there's what about the hot dogs. So here we are. I was on prayer request way. I got hooked into what God has in store and let God in. And all of a sudden, I found myself in ponder mode and on Ponder Street. And I began to think through that with God and say, God, what do you want me to think about? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What about letting you in more? What about what's in store for us? What is that? What's in store for this young man that we're praying for? But then all of a sudden, as I ponder, what's in store for me? What's in store for us? What happens if we let God in? And he starts to unleash what is in store for us. What happens if we're basking in his love and he is the great provider? What happens? And I pondered. And then, truth be said, I found myself on Vocabulary Avenue. And God gave me four words: unusual, weird, abnormal, and church. Hang on. I'm telling you, I got there from Prayer Request Way. But now I'm on Vocab Ave. And God says, well, let me give you some words. And I was ready. Oh, give me mountaintops words. Great is his faithfulness. God said, how about unusual? I don't even know. Unusual. Out of the ordinary is what unusual means. Weird. Strange or mysterious, especially in maybe an unsettling way. Abnormal, unexpected, and especially in a way that could cause alarm or some anxiety. And church, the gathering of God's people with the intent to worship and spend time in the Word and spend time with one another. Worship, Word, fellowship, you can call it the WWF. And so he gave me those words, and he says, well, then I found myself, push the button, then I found myself on this, and I found myself on Two Question Boulevard. Hang on, hot dogs are coming. And God asked me two questions after he taught me some vocabulary words. And he asked this: what is the most unusual, abnormal, or weirdest thing that you have ever seen happen in a church service? I come up and ask Cheryl that. She's like, I'm going back to sew. So what is? What is the most unusual or abnormal or weirdest thing that has ever happened in a church service? And then question two was this: what could I do that would make you want to leave and perhaps never return? And as I pondered that question on Question Boulevard, I thought, well, I'm going to ask you that this morning, just me. What could I do that make you want to leave and never come back in this room? I could be mean. I could be nasty. You could share that with me. Oh, you could preach heresy. You could not make any sense. Your theological understanding of everything could be off the rail, and I wouldn't want to sit here anymore. Your preaching could be stupid. Your preaching could be boring. And I think there's reason that maybe you would say, I'm done here. I'm leaving. And maybe they would be legit. But then I said, well, I'm going to have you ask each other this morning that question. So I'm going to have you turn to someone else, not your spouse or and just say, what could I do that you would want to leave this day and never return? I said, well, we're just going to turn this into a big free-for-all right now. It's WWF, right? We're going to turn this into a big free-for-all. And so everybody just stand up, go somebody you don't know. Hang on, I'm not going to do that. Hang on. Because that might make you want to go and never return. See, there is things I could do. That you say, well, when this is over, I'm out of here, honey. And you can lose that GPS marker in your phone because I'm never going back there. And you could ask each other, what could I do? Well, you could be inhospitable. You could be cliquey. You could be hypocritical. You could be political. You could be judgmental. And perhaps people have come and gone for those reasons, but God was taking me on a deeper level. He didn't really want me to ask you to ask each other, and I don't think he wanted me to ask you for me. I think he was asking us, and I think he's the asker. And so the question that I think he wants us to deal with is, what could I do, God speaking, that would make you want to leave and perhaps not return? what can I do? And before we say, in quick, say nothing, I'm not too sure of that. Because as I said nothing, God says, how about this? And I said, whoa, that might just push the envelope. What about this? That's going to be unusual, and that's going to be weird, and that's going to be uneasy, and that's going to be, can I do that, he said? Am I tracking? We're almost to the hot dogs. So the road I was on was very curvy this week. And asking questions that, and asking this question and coming down, and I couldn't get this question out of my head. And God was saying, what can I do? What can I do here on this 52 times? You're always talking about the 52 times that you're going to meet on in any given year. What can I do that you would maybe want to leave? Something that perhaps is so unusual or so abnormal or so weird that you may not want to come back. Look at Mark 6 this morning. Look at Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. I'm telling you, Jesus is preaching a message, and it's going well. That's what's happening right here. And they were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They ask, what is this wisdom that he has been given? And he even does miracles. Exclamation point. Woo! Right? You're supposed to do that. That's your job. Isn't this the carpenter's? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? They took offense to Jesus. You know what the word offense is? The same word we get scandal from. And all of a sudden, Jesus started to cause a scandal. He went from amazing to, oh no, this could be a scandal. Oh no, something's happened here that is unusual. Something happened here that is making me uneasy. That's what's going on here. And Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. You know what that means? Their lack that God can do anything, and he wants to turn it around, and he may want to do it right here, right now. We just sang it. But don't get too weird, God. Don't get too abnormal. God, please, when you're turning this around, please, can you make it comfortable? When you turn this thing around, can you only be amazed and not cause the scandal? Am I making sense this morning? Can I do anything? What could I do there? What could I do on a Sunday morning that might want you to say, nay, that's a little scandal. That's a little weird. That's a little unusual. That's making me feel abnormal. That's making me feel something. Honey, get the kids packed up. We need to slip out the back, Jack. And for crying out loud, we need to make a new plan, Stan. Don't get me on Simon and Garfunkel. Because God, see, we think God is always this, oh, this is going to be bunnies. This is not rabbits. You hunt rabbits. You, oh, bunnies. You have to say, oh, bunnies. You know, rabbits, okay, bunnies. And God says, you know, you asked me to turn it around, but you kind of got a limitation on me. You won't let me do what I want to do. And in this situation, Jesus is there, and he's in the synagogue, and he's teaching, and he's doing miraculous signs, and all of a sudden, something gets a little uneasy in somebody's life. And God, I want you to turn it around. What happens if I do, he said. And what happens if it's unusual? What if it's out of the ordinary? What if it's abnormal? What if it's unusual and unexpected? What if it causes you a little bit of anxiety? What if it's weird? And what if it's strange and mysterious? And especially in a very unsettling way. What teaching are you not comfortable with? You can push the button. What teaching are you not comfortable with? What miraculous sign are you not comfortable with? Just so you know, we're right about, get your hot dogs here. And God had me speechless. Because I was almost afraid to say anything at that moment. Because I'm so hungry for God to turn it around. But I'm so comfortable here. And turn it around comes at hot dogs. I want to turn it around, God. Can you do that? Not make it weird. God says, no, I can't. Can you do that and not make it abnormal? No, it's going to be abnormal. Can I do that? Can I turn it around no matter what uneasiness it causes in you? Can I turn it around in someone else's life no matter how uneasy it causes the rest of you? And I hope when my eyes come together, it means when I get this unibrow, it's not that I'm mad, it's just like I'm thinking. Cheryl keeps clipping these, you know, when you get older, you get these, like these, woo. I always think, Albert Einstein, I always tell Cheryl, Albert Einstein would have been a normal math teacher if he'd have clipped his eyebrows, because they're his thinking hairs. You got to let them grow so you can think. And so when I get those, that's my thinking line. So when I get those together, it thinks, helps me think better. And I'm not angry. I know I'm rabbit trailing here a little bit. Because I need a little relief at times when God starts to challenge me. Because I think that we're here, and I'm wondering if God's asking us, way down, that's where I want you. Is it okay if I take you here? And what if it is unusual? And what if it is abnormal and weird? Where will you draw the line? What can I do before you will not come back? I think you can push the button. Can I call you to repent? Can I bring on any conviction upon you? Are we going to give God full reign? Can I forgive you? That it will cause such a deep transformation in your life. Can I do that right now? Well, don't make me cry in front of everybody. Like God said, oh, man, you ruined it. Because when I do that, you're going to weep. You're going to fall on the ground, and you're going to weep because you're going to release all that crap that's in your life. If you've got to give me the rules, you can't make me cry. Then how am I going to do that? You know, I'm pretty stoic, God. I know, man, I wish you'd get rid of that. You're such a stick in the mud. I love you. Can I so touch you that you will do the radical? And even as I say this, like I'm like extra sweating up here today. And John 8 says this, and Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go and leave your life of sin. What if God wants to turn it around and he wants you to leave your life of sin right now? Can I go and leave your life of sin, you, right now? You want me to turn it around, but you won't give me full permission to do whatever I want. I've got to stay within your guidelines. And frankly, it's jamming me up, speaking from God. Can I bring such a conviction upon your life that whatever sin is in your life, that you will not leave this building without confessing it to someone and without designing a plan to get out of it? I'm just asking. Can I go and leave your life of sin, you, right now? But God, God said, I know all that stuff. Do you know how much change that's? I know. Do you know what that's going to look like? Yeah, I know. Do you know who's going to be involved? I know. I'm asking you. Can I do that right now? Luke 19, it says this, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to Jesus, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, I'm going to give them back four times. You've so moved in my life. Can I Zacchaeus you right now? Can I take that $2,000 you have in savings and can I so bring a conviction upon you that you will not leave here until you write a check for $1,000 to someone? Yeah, but God, you know, I wanted to do this. And he says, I know! I wanted this for that $1,000 go here. I know! Do you think Zacchaeus had any plans? But God turned it around. And he gave him such permission that he gave away half of what he owned. And he said, those people that I cheated, they're getting four times what I took from them. I'm telling you what, the house was turned around. And I don't know if he went from eating steak to eating cereal. I don't know. But it didn't matter to him because God was turning it around. And he said, you do it, God. There's nothing. Do the abnormal, God. Do the unusual. If I weep on the floor, if I have to eat cereal all week, I'm going to do it right now. Zacchaeus me, God. About Luke 5. After this, Jesus went out and saw the tax collector by the name Levi sitting in his tax booth. Follow me, he said. And Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Can I leave by you this morning? That you'll get up and you'll sell it if it's in the way. You'll get out. I'm following him. Can I bring that conviction upon you? Can I leave by you this morning? You know what that's going to look like, God? As a matter of fact, I do. I know exactly what that's going to look like. And you've asked me to turn it around, but you got parameters around me. And I want to turn it around. I want to bring it into your life. I want to bring all that is in store for you. All that is in store for you. God, I would pray that he continues to let you in so he can have all that is in store for him. God says, I got so much more, and you're hanging on to worthless idols, and you're not, and you're forfeiting the grace that could be yours. Will you just get rid of that and stand over here? That's going to alter my life, God. I know exactly what it's going to do. Can I do it? Can I leave IU? How about this? Can I have someone with a gift of prophecy speak a prophetic word into your life? Now you're kind of urging it. Can I give you the gift of prophecy? Are you going to make me weird, God? Yeah. Are you going to kind of make me unusual? Yeah. So if don't make me weird or don't make me unusual, we'll go ahead, God. Get your hat up! It's not going to happen, he said. Tell me one usual, ordinary person in the Bible that was a prophet. Good luck with that. Can I have someone with a gift of tongues or knowledge or wisdom speak freely? Well, that doesn't really fit into my theological understanding of what goes on in the church. That's what God is like. Man, that education you got, that theological education, man, that just runs so shallow sometimes. You paid what for that education? $40,000? Woo! And you don't really know if I can give you the gift of prophecy or hear a prophetic word or give somebody a word of knowledge or wisdom or, oh, don't get freaky, don't speak in tongues. God said, yeah, that's probably going to be a hair abnormal at times. I'm just asking, can I do it? What would I do? What could I do in your midst that turning me around that you would want to go and maybe not return? One day while he was teaching, just so you know, Jesus was at church, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. I mean, he drew quite a crowd. And the power, listen to this, underline it if you got it in your Bible. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Jesus is his church. You got Pharisees here. You know they're not good. I know. No, Pharisees not going to be too good with us. They'll just take a pretzel. They don't know any hot dogs. And some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house and lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up to the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tile into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. So here's my question. Can I have someone, here's God's question, can I have someone come through the doors and interrupt and ask you to release the power of the Lord that is on you to heal the sick? Can I do that? God, you know, we're kind of sitting kind of nice and, you know, we're feeling kind of good and, you know, I got things to do this afternoon. So, do you want a hot dog or not? Can I have someone bust through the doors? Say, who? Who has the power of the Lord to heal on them right now? See, I think we'd be okay to if he busts through the door, Ed, can you handle this? We'll wait out back. I ain't handling it. If it's you with the power of the Lord on them to heal. Frankly, if somebody comes through that door and the power of the Lord to heal that person is not on me and it's on you, you better stick here.
because I can pray for them all I want. Power of the healing of the Lord for them is on you. Can I do that? Can I do that? Can I do that in your life? Can I do that? In a synagogue, just so you know, church, there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit, and he cried out at the top of his voice, "Ah!" Can you imagine that? Just sitting here, just someone just, "Ah!" Sorry for scaring the little kids in the front row. We need like a hockey game. We need a soundproof spit guard right here. Can you imagine that? Jesus is there teaching. He's having church. Worship team just went down, perhaps. Man, powerful worship. He's doing the miraculous, and he's sitting there teaching, and all of a sudden, somebody with an evil spirit says, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Can you imagine that? That's a little unusual. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. The Holy One of God. Can you imagine? If that happens, please, can we do something? I know some of you are carrying, but don't use that as a first line of defense, okay? What happens if that happens? So here's my question. Here's God's question to me. Jesus says, let me finish. "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man before them all and came out without injuring the man. And all the people were amazed and said to each other, "Woo!" Or, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to the evil spirits and they come out." Can I expose a demonic stronghold and have you take authority and disarm it? Can I do that? It's a little risky, God. I know. I'm not saying it'll happen every minute, but can I just do it? If someone is oppressed and it's demonic, can I just expose that and you not freak out? But you keep your head and you come up to that and say, "Enough is enough. You're out of here. Free this man in Jesus' name." And watch the enemy leave him and him stand up healed. Can I do that? Can I make this a place? Can I make this place a well where the Samaritan woman can find solace? Can I make this a healing pool where the man who has been paralyzed for 38 years can find healing? Can I make this a street even where someone could touch the hem of my garment and experience healing? Can I do that here? Can I make this a garden in the middle of the darkest moment of someone's life where they can walk in here and find hope? Can I so break your heart for what breaks mine? Can I make this a temple where people can find Jesus? Prayer Request Highway. All the way. Put it back on the slide with the circle. This is the picture I have drawn on my card. God says, "You're in a roundabout right now. what's going to make you get out? Or are you okay with me doing whatever I want to turn it around? No matter how unusual it may get. Back to the last slide. And just so you know, Jesus said this as he was praying for you and me. As Father, you sent me into the world, I have sent them. Don't you dare think that we were going to do any less than what Jesus has been doing. But you've got to let me turn it around. Amen. You've got to let me do it my way. Can I? Or will it get too weird and you will want to leave and you will never come back? And just so you know, New Life, as your pastor, I repented of any halfway stuff this week. I have no idea some of the stuff between here and get your hot dog. But God does. And I've got to give him full reins if he's going to turn it around. I pray that you'll go with me. But I will go. But I pray that we all go together. Stand with me today. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for saying, Father, just like you sent me into this world, I'm sending Ed. Just like you sent me into this world, I'm sending Nathan. Just like you sent me into this world, I'm sending Tyler. Just like you sent me into this world, I'm sending Bill. Just like you sent me into this world, I'm sending Cheryl. And I'm sending Will. Just like you sent me into this world, I'm sending New Life. And Father, I believe in the name of Jesus that you're going to turn it around. Life after life after life after life, because this body is going to let you do what needs to be done to turn it around. So Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.